And I started to read him. And I read John 19, 26 through 27. And I looked again and I said, now I'm missing something. Because I don't see this journey to victory. It just wasn't clicking. So I said, well, I know what I can do. I can go to the Concordance. Mm-hmm. No. Well, that didn't work. So I went to Insights to the Scripture. That didn't work. That wasn't what I needed. I thought and I said, oh, I know what I do. I'll just go to lectionary. They had everything but this. I said, Lord, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? And I asked my husband sitting back there. And he said, don't ask, nah, no, that's your job. So, okay. I said, I know. I got this great idea one night. I'll Google it. Google know everything. And see, if there's a sermon, I can take that sermon and critique it the way I think it should go. And it didn't work. So I thought about my Catholic sisters. I'm associated there. I can't be a nun. I got too many children. I've been married. I'm one of the associate sisters of the Dominican sister. And I thought about when I would go to our meetings and they would say the rosary. And I thought about the beautiful words of the rosary. When it says, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then it hit me. Have you ever had anything to hit you like a ton of brick? And I said, I got it. My poor little dog took off. He didn't know what I was talking. I got it. I'm going to concentrate, and I'm going to write my sermon. But I'm going to base it on Mary.
All right.
And I want us to get this mindset. Mary was a woman that had been blessed. But she was human, and so was Jesus. So my sermon for today is, Behold Thy Mother. And we've already heard John 26, 27. She read it. Mary was in Jerusalem for the Passover. And now her son was in trouble. He had been arrested. He had been tried and condemned. And now he was dying. Surely Mary's place was close to her son. Simeon's prophecy gives it at Jesus' dedication comes to pass, and a sword will pierce your own soul. This is found in Luke 2:35. Jesus says to his mother, here is your son. And then he says to his disciples, here is your mother. And from that point, the disciples took her to his home to take care of her. Now, let me just put this into wise language. I mean, we go to Mr. Webster, he can make up royal words and put it together, and you get a Webster dictionary, and it's about that long, and I have never figured out how the English language could have that many words.
Right.
And I'm not going to, to know it all. But let's put this in my language, okay? Go along with me just for a while.
All right.
Okay. For that moment, what Jesus was saying, this is what he was saying to his mother. This is your new son. And he was saying to his disciple, this is your new mama. Now, I'm saying mama. Remember, you're not going to find mama in the Bible, so don't even waste your time. But he told John, take care of my mama.
Mm-hmm.
Take her home with you. Mm-hmm. Whatever she needs, I'm entrusting her care to you.
Amen.
Take care of my mama.
Yes.
Like she was your mama.
Yes.
Take care of my mama. This was Jesus' final act upon the cross. Mm-hmm. to ensure the welfare of his mother by defining her relationship with his disciple. John was one of Jesus' closest friends, referred to as the disciple that Jesus loved the most. Interpreters believed that Jesus had died, and women in that day did not have the type of job that they have today. They couldn't work at Ohio Bell or AT&T or Chase Manhattan or Ohio State University or Children's Hospital. These things just didn't exist. And if they were able to bring something into the house, like pottery or sewing, it was very meaningful. Jesus, since he was the oldest son, it was his responsibility for the care of his mother. Jesus was now asking John, take on this, his responsibility. Jesus didn't entrust the care of his mother to his brothers. John was not blood kin to Jesus, but in the spirit, he was his brother. This bears witness that family go farther than blood. Amen. Now let us concentrate on Mary, the mother of Jesus. This great woman, whose son was conceived by the Holy Spirit, she had that mother's bond with her son. That bond that a child develops with their mom that can never be separate. The baby starts out as an organism and then grows inside the mother's womb for 9 months. The mother sustains her child by sharing substance through the umbilical cord. She goes through the excruciating pains of labor. You ladies know all about that. And when the baby is born, the umbilical cord is cut. And she gives birth to this beautiful baby. But it is never severed from the mother's heart. Mary cared for her son's needs as an infant, nursing him on her breast because it wasn't any similar. Changing his diapers. It wasn't any pampers. So he had that. She gave him a bath. She rocked him to sleep in her arms.
Yes.
She watched him grow into a toddler.
Yes.
And heard his mumbling or baby talk. Any of you know ever heard a little child mumble and talk baby? We had our granddaughter, Kai Kai. Most of you know Kai. When Kai was about 3 years old, about 2 or 1 and a half. Kai Kai could mumble a half an hour and you wouldn't know what she was talking about. And she would look at you like, you should know what I'm talking about. And I told my husband, I said, you know what? I'll be so glad when Kai learned how to talk. He said, oh, no, you won't. Well, Kai Kai is still talking. Only this time, she's giving speeches. And now she can mesmerize a whole crowd with just her walking in the door and enthrall you with every word that come out of her mouth. But from the beginning, it was rough. It was rough. She saw Jesus cut his first tooth and grow into a child. She comforted him through his childhood cuts and bruises and tears and taunts when he was a boy. He could run home to mama. To a youth, and then a teenager, and a young man, and now he was dying on the cross. Picture Mary standing at the cross, seeing her son suffer.
Mercy.
That son that she carried in her womb for 9 months, endured the pain of labor, and gave birth to her son Jesus.
Yes.
She saw now that she was helpless to stop her son from dying. Let's concentrate on Mary's physical and emotional state. Let us see her as a normal mother, and let us feel the pain and agony that she went through. She saw her son on the cross dying. Her Her heart was filled with grief and agony. This was how Mary saw her son. Jesus' eyes were sunken and half closed and lifeless. His lips hanging and his mouth open. His cheeks hollow and attached to his teeth. His face lengthened, his nose sharp, his countenance sad. His head had fallen upon his chest. His hair was black with dried blood. His stomach collapsed. His arms and legs were stiff, and his whole body was covered with wounds and blood. Mary, the mother of Jesus, suffered all the pains that Jesus was feeling. Every torture inflicted upon his body was a wound in the heart of his mama. I worked for hospice for 20 years. I saw many people die. I prepared many bodies to go. I saw young mothers, and I had a lot of babies. And the mothers would be there, and they knew that the child was going to die. But they would do everything they could to make this child comfortable, or this youth, or whoever it was. They would take and they would fluff up the pillows, you know, and they straightened it out, they turned, and they did everything just to give that person comfort. They'd rearrange stuff. They'd offer fluids because they felt that if they got them to drink, they would survive. They would do all that they could. Mary heard her son say, "I thirst," but she was not permitted to give him a drink of water to quench his thirst. Mercy. All she had was the water from her tears. She saw her son suspended by 3 nails to the cross, and she wished to hold him close to her heart, but that might give him some comfort. She wanted to ease his pain, or at least he would die in her arms. But she could not. She saw her son in a sea of sorrow, seeking the one who could console him. She heard him say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And as predicted by the prophets, "I have trodden the winepress alone. I have looked about, and there was none to help. I saw, and there was none to give aid." The Blessed Mary, according to St. Bridges, said, "Some call my son a thief. I heard another one say, he's an imposter. And then I heard one say, no one deserved death no more than him." And every word was a new sword in my heart. As I reflect now on the third statement from the cross, I begin to see something about the extent of Jesus' love. Oh, it is wonderful to remember as he hung dying on a Roman cross, hung on the Roman cross, suffering as the Lamb of God. He took thought to make provision for his mother. He was dying in agony, gasping for each breath.
Yes.
He sees his mother at the foot of the cross, heartbroken, weeping, inconsolable, and his heart goes out to her, and he is touched by mama's tears. Remember, church, Jesus now is not on the cross. Now and in your time of need, the word of Jesus reminds us that he cares about us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. There's nothing that can keep his love from us, his attention from seeing and meeting our needs. The words from the cross shows us that Jesus was also human. And it teaches us how we must show love and compassion toward each other, because we're all sisters in Christ. You know, Jesus is the bond that binds us together. I close with this prayer of peace. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me show love. Where there is injury, let me pardon. Where there is doubt, let me give faith. Where there is hope, despair, let me give hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to understand as to be understood, to love as to love. For it is given that we receive, it is in dying that we're born to eternal life. Take care of my mama. God bless y'all.